110 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We do want to win because winning is the epitome of team effort.
Every coach who ever put a whistle around their neck strives to be the head coach at The Ohio State University.
Welcome back, everybody, to Buckeye Bar Guys here on Buckeye Bar Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm John.
And tonight's date is Friday, January 6th, 2023. We're going to talk about the heartbreaking loss from last weekend, the playoffs. And then we'll move into just some just throw out some opinions on different things that we'd like to see for next year. Just things that we feel that needs to be changed, addressed, and all that stuff. How you rate the year kind of depends on your feelings. You know, the loss to Michigan at the end of the season left a lot of, sour taste in a lot of people's mouth, us included. And then as we talked about on the show prior to the game, you know, we were kind of bouncing back and forth, you know, between optimism and pessimism before
cautiously optimistic
the Georgia game. And, you know, they ended up in coming out and they, I mean, looked unbelievable for, you know, pretty much the whole game. And, you know, it just slipped away there at the end. So we'll be getting into that. But just kind of your general thoughts about the game. And then I'll throw some of mine out there. It was an emotional roller coaster. There was a point you saw in the first quarter, you know, early second quarter, it's like, okay, we can hang with these guys. And then the kind of the game started pulling away and then it comes back. And then it's like third quarter, you know, we're going to blow them out. And then.
Yeah, no, there's definitely ebbs and flows to the game. It went 7-7 and then they missed a couple field goals, you know, and it's like we got an interception in there. We went up 21-7. I mean, there was two different points in the game. We were up 14 points. We said, you know, you got to be aggressive. We felt like there was a good chance to be aggressive against the secondary. Day did a masterful job. It looks like game planning, you know, going into it. And it just didn't quite work out. There's a lot of injuries to talk about also, but, you know, they were up 14-2 different times. If you would have told me that Kirby Smart would have settled for four field goals and missed two of them, yeah. I would have thought we won the game easily.
Yeah, I agree. Just kind of it just sucks that the even quarters ended up belonging to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's where they, you know, made enough hay to get, you know, to end up winning the game at the end of the, right from the beginning, it was like once Stroud hit the Marv on that touchdown, like to me, it was like, okay, we definitely know what we were saying about Georgia's secondary. I'm like, okay, we were right there that they were, you know, that there was definitely spots to exploit them. LSU exploited them, you know, and, you know, we were a lot better than LSU.
And that's not even calling someone a bad secondary. It's just, it's hard in college to play against good to elite level receivers. Yeah. I mean, you just can't cover people forever unless you're really special. And they're just a step below that. So it's nothing like, oh, their secondary is trash. It was just like, they're not the Legion of Boom back there either. Yeah. Though.
Well, and just like, you know, when you're moving from high school to college, you know, even at the Georgia and Ohio State levels, not every one of these guys are going on to the next level. So right. There are mismatches there. You know, Marv Jr. is going to the next level. He's going to be something at the next level, you know, as long as he stays healthy. I mean, the kid could go now if he really wanted to.
Don't give him any ideas.
No, I mean, I don't think hopefully he won't try it, but, so yeah, there was definitely places to exploit them there, and they showed that. Now, of course, you know, we obviously felt there was places that, you know, we could be exploited in the secondary, and we were. A lot of the different times that seemed like got corrected through the year, some of the issues we had last year and the year before at different times that, you know, started rearing its ugly head
Yeah.
You know, at the end of this season, you know, and that kind of was exploited a lot in this game. Again, bad angles, bad tackling, you know, guys in the secondary falling down. Like, I have never seen a team that falls down more than us. Like, you know, I don't know if that's, we need to address something with Nike.
I mean, that's, that's going back to the 90s.
Like, yeah, I get it. It's just, but it's just, it seems like it happens more over the last few years than, you know, even then. But,
no, we definitely cannot keep our footing whatsoever. I mean, it's crazy. Like,
so, you know, yeah, there's just stuff there that I'm like, okay, do we need to, yeah, like I said, do we need to address things with Nike? I don't know. But so it was obviously, and they kind of like Fowler and Herbstreit, they kind of snickered. They were talking at the beginning of the game when they, you know, Ryan Day said that you're going to need to score a lot of points in this game. And so Ryan Day was absolutely 100% correct.
Right.
That, you know, they had and, you know, he had a great game plan for it. You know, considering you're down Trey, you know, mine can't walk, like, you know, I mean, he gets in there, you know, again, I'm part of me is like, you know, even though he ends up scoring a touchdown, you know, should he even have played at that point? It's like, you know,
but he did run hard the times he was in there. I was shocked though that he was nowhere near as healthy as what they made him sound.
Yeah, I was on that too. You know, Stover goes out, and you know, Rossi comes in. I mean, he looks really good, you know, but, you know, again, he's limited. He's was always primarily the blocking back, but, you know, I kind of felt like they were running the ball fairly well against Georgia in the spots they were doing it. So I'm like, you know, I kind of thought, you know, there was kind of a couple spots in there where maybe they could have ran it a little bit more, that it, like, Georgia's defensive line to me wasn't as all out as I thought what a lot of people made them out to be. I personally felt like Ohio State's offensive line won that battle the whole game. And like,
yeah, I agree with that. I feel like, I mean, I think they did eat up some bodies, so I think they did their job, because that's primarily what they use them for. But I do think Ohio State did more than just hold their own. You know, I think they won the individual battles as well. I think they could have established a run more so in that game, but it was always kind of coming into it. We always said, like, you know, you got to run, but running is kind of a distraction. Running's like to keep a defense honest. It's going to be a passing game. And it was, and I think it was called for the most part, pretty perfectly. Perfectly is probably a strong word for that, but it was a good play. You know, it was a good game plan, good play calling. And I hear people say this, and it's like, as much as it hurts, in a great game, somebody's got to lose. And it sucks so bad being on the other, you know, the losing side of that. But somebody does have to lose that game.
Yeah. And, you know,
and I don't like having that loser mentality, but it's true. Like,
no, it's definitely true. I think the thing that, I think the thing that hurts the most to me is that, and we were just talking about this prior to us actually, you know, hitting the record button, that, you know, for them to lose you're up 14 points going in the fourth and you lose the game. And I get it. Marv gets hurt, but a receiver, and I get it. That's on top of all the other injuries that they had. So there's a lot of injuries in there, and you're running Xavier Johnson when you're not expecting to be running Xavier Johnson in those types of situations. But like, it's not like you would think that you go completely deflate yourselves when you lose a quarterback, but like, they didn't lose Stroud. I mean, Stroud is doing stuff that people have been calling for him all year to do. It just seems like that, you know, losing one receiver, and I get it. And then when you kind of, then you got to go back and think about, well, it's one receiver on top of everything else that they've lost, that, you know, and he was so dominant in that game, but it just seems like you should be able to find something to plug in, or, you know,
I agree.
Or you need to get on the phone to Jim Knowles and be like, okay, we need to really start slow playing this. And, you know, like, you can't have that touchdown where, you know, again, it's for how long in that game, you know, they're holding up their own for the most part, but, you know, with, you know, spots here and there, but, you know, and then they go for the all out blitz again, and, you know, Ransom falls down, and, you know, the guy's wide open. Like, that can't happen when you're up two touchdowns. Like, and I get it. Everybody's like, well, I'm not saying run the prevent defense too and give them up. No, just run the normal, you know, zone defense and try to keep things inside windows and stuff like that. And, you know, force them to at least, like, even if it's like they're in a hurry up offense, and even if it's a 3 minute drive, it's still a drive that that's still 3 minutes that they're not going to get back, that instead of scoring what 40 seconds it felt like that touchdown was.
I mean, that was right away. So yeah, I agree. I mean, you're up 11 at that point. You just, like, and I've said this, you know, to you online, you lost Marv, you were just, you know, diminished you know where I'm going with that. You're just like, you don't have the offensive weapons that you did. You were limping towards the finish line. Like, you have to just say, Jim, like, make these guys waste a little bit of time to score this. Like, you know, if we need to, we can get aggressive next series, whatever, but let my offense stay off the field for a little bit. Let me get a game plan together. Let me, you know, think about what plays I want to call, but make these guys just drain the clock on themselves. And it was like, nope. No, we're just going to give up a 76 yard touchdown. And I've complained, you know, that the fastest guy in the field ends up on a safety in the slot, but like you said, you know, that's what teams do. They motion their weapons to get favorable matchups, and I completely get that. It's just like, it's just so heartbreaking that you're up by 14 and that's how that ends up. I mean, you're outscored in the fourth quarter 18-3. And it's like, well, if we only scored 5 instead of 3, it's like, man, that's sometimes feels like kind of a loser mentality. And, you know, like, shouldn't have gave up 18. Like,
No, I agree. And it's like I said, that I just wish that they could have just slowed them down just enough, you know. And I thought the defensive line actually played a pretty good game. It seemed, I felt like Bennett was in a much more, was under a lot more pressure in the game from our defensive line than we were from their defensive line. So,
well, those huge chunk plays, though, I mean, they'll make anyone's stat line look good at the end of the day, you know?
And I'm just like, you know, hey, let's play back some. And maybe you go to Larry Johnson and be like, you know, I need your boys to win this
game. You got
to
dig down, man.
Harrison had a good game. JTT had a pretty good game. I mean, Sawyer was in there a couple different times. I mean,
which I can't even remember the play. Harrison was this close to ripping the ball right out of Stetson Bennett's hand. That wasn't the touchdown, was it?
No,
it was a big gain, though.
Yeah. That was like,
I'm just like, oh my God, he's going to get the ball. And then it's like, nope, completion.
Yeah, he just missed it, too. You know, but I like, you know, and then at that point, you also could throw, and then you could kind of throw in some zone blitzes, maybe drop a couple defense linemen into coverage, you know. And, you know, I mean, especially when you're looking for guys like tight ends and stuff like that. I mean,
and Darnell Washington gets hurt in the first quarter, man. Yeah. Like,
so, I mean, there's definitely plenty of opportunities, and I just wish they would have took a different defensive approach in the fourth quarter. So
yeah,
that's where my frustrations really lie. I mean, there's some nitpicking things that I could go with Ryan Day that, you know, yeah, I could feel like they could have ran it a little bit more once you saw that the running game was working. You know, because maybe if you add a minute on to a drive earlier in the game that takes away, you know, later in the game, you know, there is, you know, stuff like that happens. But obviously the big thing I think we need to talk about is really what changed the game is that, you know, not only does Marvin Harrison, you know, get knocked out of the game, but I mean, for them to pick up the targeting penalty, I mean, like, you know, we were talking to our dad and he's like, you know, that's in the end zone too. And so it's, you know, they're going to have that ball, you know, pretty close to, I mean, I know it's not a pass interference. Oh no, penalty in the end zone goes right to the, it would just.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, at least would have been half the distance.
Yeah. But. I mean, I don't remember quite exactly where we were, but we're probably a lot closer. And then it's like, even if you're within the 5 yard line, I mean, they settle for a field goal. They get the field goal. But if you run three running plays there and you take a minute and a half off the clock, I mean, and then even if you have to settle for the field goal, well, that's a minute and a half that they don't have now
right
at the end of the game. So, I mean, obviously that ended up killing them. We've complained how many times over the years that I still don't understand what the damn, even though they've supposedly, like, you know, made things more clear this year, I still don't understand what the damn definition of targeting is, that, you know.
Yeah, beats the hell out of me. I don't know.
I mean, he's a defenseless receiver there. The guy launches at, Yeah, maybe they touched shoulders, but he also touched his head, and like their helmets hit each other. And right. Like, so I don't know how that's not considered launching towards the neck and head area. Like that's, and he's defenseless and you launch, like that's all the points that you need for that to be targeting at that point. Like, you know,
well, my issue with it is the irrefutable evidence that you would pick that flag up. I mean, it was called on the field, whether, you know, I don't know if it's a targeting or not. I mean, I think it is, because I realize that they might have hit shoulder pads first, but it's, you know, the neck and head area of a defenseless receiver. I mean, I thought it was textbook targeting.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong, whatever. I mean, I admit that I've been wrong before.
And sometimes on some of that stuff, I get annoyed with the shoulder pads were touching each other. It'd be like, you know, your shoulders are pretty much, they're parallel to your neck.
There are some bad non-targeting calls in this bowl season.
I mean, how can you say that they weren't aiming for the person's neck or head? They just touched their shoulder. They didn't touch down here. They touched up.
Right.
It was a high shoulder pad. So he was aiming, just because the shoulder pad deflected it a little bit, doesn't mean he wasn't aiming for that spot. And so,
yeah,
that was a horrendous call, in my opinion. And I thought the refs did pretty good. I had nothing to complain about with the refs. I mean, it wasn't the Clemson game in 19 where they made a lot of bonehead mistakes. I mean, I thought they, you know, there was a couple nitpicky things for the refs, but I thought they were fair on both sides, but that was the one where they screwed that one up. And
they actually almost made the best boneheaded play ever for Ohio State on that fake punt, but it was such an obvious formation that Kirby got that timeout called, which I have seen a lot of Ohio State fans mad that they felt like the play was snapped and, you know, there was no signal to call the play dead for a timeout before it got snapped, which I can kind of agree with, or I can see their point for that. But we also did have 12 guys on the field.
I mean, that's a call that's the ref's call on the sides. If they feel like that, if they heard it prior to the, even if it's a millisecond prior, you know,
sometimes that takes a second to register what you're hearing too.
So it's like, you know, there's been times not so much in this game, but there's been, I'm sure, plenty of times when you go back looking through the things. I mean, Ohio State, from Urban to Ryan Day, you know, they've called a lot of timeouts over the years when, you know, the clock's running out on them. And that, I'm sure some of them have been right after, you know, the clock hit zero, but you know, that's the ref's decision.
Yeah.
And thank God that's not a reviewable call, because I would hate to start getting into nitpick territory.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's like, did it hit zero or did it, the snap come off, and then doing camera snaps next to each other. And so, you know, I mean, that's something that happens in football. That's a football thing that I'm not going to get upset about that. You know, I think out of all of them, I was upset that Kirby caught it. You know, even though I think the 12 guys, I actually think that is reviewable. So they probably would have, because I know.
No, that's not reviewable.
Isn't it reviewable on defense, though?
I don't think so.
Because I think, it is, because they can go back and look at that.
I don't know. Bobby Carpenter said he didn't think it was reviewable.
Oh, maybe it isn't, but I'm pretty sure a couple games prior, I saw where they did do it on a defense that they buzzed down to double check it. Maybe it's not reviewable for the offense.
I don't know. I honestly don't know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure 100% not too, but I thought it was the one that really sucked was the, you know, when Rossi ended up, that 4th-and-1 or whatever.
Yeah, I know, man. That was a beautiful call, and he had that illegal motion.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple spots in there where they hurt themselves and stuff like that. But, you know, the offensive line did good on their penalties. There wasn't no major issues. You know, there wasn't a lot of drive killers. Kudos to all that stuff. You know, I was happy how they ended up playing. I just wish that they would have just a different defensive philosophy. And like I said, a couple of things I could have nitpicked on. I kind of wish, you know, they did that one running play on that last drive, you know, after they're already in field goal range. You know, I kind of wished on the next play they still had the timeout. They would have tried to, especially how much he was running at that point. I wish they would have rolled Stroud out to the, maybe give him a passing option out there. And then the passing option's not open, take off with it. You know, I would prefer, I know that Ruggles kicked His first field goal was on the left hash also. It's just, I feel like that he's that, you know, the one thing he does do, even though he doesn't miss a lot of field goals, you know, he does tend to hook them a little bit, but a lot of times he's kicking from the right. It always feels like that, you know, a hook still goes through.
Yeah.
So I think he just does a little bit better from the right hash mark, but you know, it looks like he didn't hit the plant leg just as well as he could have. I know there's some things they were saying to, you know, maybe the ball wasn't being held as well that from Mirko as it could have been, but you know, that's kind of what happens. You know, that stuff happens. You know, field goal kickers, they make them and they miss them, and you know, it just was the worst time in the world to have a miss.
No, it was. I'm just hoping like you get a rewrite now. It's kind of like the rehash of Ryan Day's career. I mean, because this is kind of how 2019 started. Not quite the same, because you're a really, really complete team in 2019. You lost a close game that was kind of stolen from you. But then 2020, you know, COVID year, everything was just weird. And so I don't know. I mean, you got blown out in the national title game, but you won big in your playoff game. But, you know, maybe this is kind of like rewind it, rehash it. You lost close in this game. And then, you know, maybe next year you can do it all right and you can win your, you know, beat Michigan because you didn't get to play them in 2020, you know, and that nonsense. And it's going to be hard to do it in Ann Arbor, especially with what we assume to be a new starting quarterback. But you got to find a way to do it.
You know, the one thing I will say that, you know, and this was before the game, you know, they were talking about something Kirby Smart said that, you know, they were talking about different experiences and experience. And he's like, at this point in the season, all these teams have experience. You played a whole season. So, you know, football, the game itself is your experience. So, you know, so at that point, you know, whether it's McCord
or Brown,
that I think that, you know, they should be well positioned to beat Michigan. They're going to have most of their offense, it seems like, back, and you know, outside the offense line, they got to, you know, there's definitely holes on the offense line that's concerning. You know, we're not going to get into that stuff tonight, but you know, that's definitely, you know, in future shows we're going to talk about, because you know, they're going to have to probably, they will have to pull a couple guys in on the transfer portal, and they are going after a few guys, so that's good. But that, to me, that's the biggest concern on the offense. It's even more so than the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think these guys,
two tackles with a new quarterback is kind of a scary thought.
I think either one of these guys could win with this offense. It's just that he needs a line to block for him. And, you know, that you don't want, I mean, you kind of remember, you know, the early 2014 when the line was very raw and new.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and they definitely did not look like the same line at the end of the season. So, you know, I mean, so again, experience comes into that, but you know, that you need to get some guys in there to fill in some of the depth. Anything else for the game you want to hit before we get into our couple of things?
I mean, I've said this, not trying to harp on it too much. Just, you can't lose when you're winning by 14 in the fourth quarter, man. It's not like you're some Cinderella that came out of nowhere and you're, you know, you're David fighting Goliath and you're just holding on for dear life. I realize you have a lot of injuries and you're depleted and you're limping towards the finish line, but man, you're talent equated. Like, you got to find a way to hold on to that lead.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, everybody's got injuries at this point in the season. I mean, I get it. It's a lot of big injuries, but that's football and it comes with the territory. There's years where, you know, teams go, they're pretty freaking healthy, you know, and then there's years where teams aren't so much. And you lose several big time guys in a game. I mean, it's just, you know, it kind of sucks that Harrison was the last marker to fall.
That was really like the guy we couldn't lose.
And that's what ended up happening.
Like, I don't want to say like, you know, losing Igbuka wouldn't have been as bad because you don't want to lose anybody, but losing Igbuka probably wouldn't have been as bad.
No, I know. I definitely agree with that. All right, let's get into the three things. I think we both have the same one with the, so we'll start there because that kind of goes in with what we're just talking about with Marv and stuff like that. You know, we both kind of agree that, you know,
get experience for younger players.
Like, there's, opportunities. There were opportunities this year. You blow teams out, and like in Dave's mind, it's like we're not blowing them out enough. Like if you're up by 21 points on Rutgers, Toledo, whoever,
Arkansas State,
the game's over. Like, I'm sorry. It's like there's a point in where the game is over. And like in the third quarter, start rotating some of these younger receivers in and stuff like that. And
well, like Toledo, you could have started rotating them in the second quarter. Yeah,
and get Ballard in there more. Like that was the thing that kind of frustrated me the most. And I'm just like, you know, if he can play, let him play, because once Marv got hurt, and like I've told you this, I don't care if the guy is a decoy, like just get somebody that's going to run a safety off. Like,
you but know, wouldn't it have been so much better if he actually like was confident and wasn't a decoy? Yeah, like you could go to him.
Well, and if they get a little cocky, like, well, this guy hasn't played. The dude's got the jets that he can blow some by somebody, yeah, and he's wide open. Then you give him opportunities at that point. But like, you got to get other guys experience. And I think Day is just gets a little too concerned with some stuff and letting kids get into the games and play. Let them make their game time mistakes. I'm not saying put these kids in the first quarter, but you know, even if you want to keep your starting quarterback in longer, and we've both said that he maybe have kept Stroud in a little too long at different points this year into the fourth quarter, but okay, you're in the third quarter. Would it have hurt to have, I mean, when you're going to need these guys the most, like in this game, you know, most likely CJ Stroud is going to be thrown to him anyway. So like, yeah, in the third quarter, keep your starting offensive line in, keep CJ Stroud in, start rotating some of the receivers in those of the younger kids. And you know,
and it's both sides of the ball. I mean, and I like Sonny Styles, I can't be too upset because he was supposed to be in high school still, but like CJ Hicks is a 5-star linebacker. The guy barely got any defensive snaps this year. Like, there were plenty of times that he could have got worked in and, yeah, you know, done something out on the field, at least had an opportunity. And I just like Caleb Brown. And I don't know all these guys' injury history because Ohio State treats injuries like friggin' Fort Knox, you know, like the best. It's got to be the most well-kept secret in the nation. And it's just like,
That didn't end up on my final list, but that was on my list. Like,
cut the shit with injuries.
Like, okay, we can start talking a little bit more. Like, it's not, you know, this isn't a nuclear, you know.
Right, it's not the nuclear codes, man. You're not.
Like, we can start talking a little bit more that, like, hey, yeah, this guy's banged up. You know, he's probably not going to play. Or, hey, we're going to sit somebody out this game because, like, you have so many talented guys on your team. Does it really matter if Rutgers knows that you're not going to play Abuka or whatever? In
that's
a game.
What I'm saying.
Like, does it really matter? Like,
I know, but you got to keep it, you know, tight to the vest to the very 2 hours before kickoff. Yeah, that drives me insane. But I don't know. Like, I know, like, Kojo Antwi and what Keon Gray's, like, all these guys, you know, they look good. And the ones that were in spring ball, you heard good things during the summer, then you just heard nothing. And it's like, and I get it, if you know they fell off and they didn't deserve to get on the field, of course, you know, I trust Brian Hartline enough, but man, like, there were times that you were up big that you could have got these guys in at different times to just let them make their mistakes, put something on film to teach them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I don't care how hard you go in practice. First of all, these kids aren't playing that much in practice to begin with. I mean, you're giving your ones most, you're giving your top guys most of the snaps to begin
right
with. So it's not like once you get into the season practice, you know, they're not getting
you don't got a ton of time to practice.
Like, they're not practicing a lot to begin with. So, you know, give them some opportunities when you're up begging games. Like, I get the whole black stripe thing and stuff like that. And, you know, it's a badge of honor. I kind of wish that, you know, I liked it, you know, when Urban was here, you know, maybe there's some things that they can tweak to it now.
Yeah.
That, you know, let these kids play and, you know, see how they do in real talent. And then, you know, let them build some confidence and, you know, maybe then a Keon Graves comes into, you know, because he played a couple games this season. You don't even have to burn red shirts. Like, you know, I mean,
well, you didn't. I mean, during bowl season, they made an exception this year that you didn't have to burn a red shirt.
So, you know, and maybe a guy like that, you know, whatever, maybe he ends up making the biggest play of the season, go out and win him the national title because he got some playing time through the season and, you know, he needed to go play now.
Right. And he was confident in live reps and he made a play against Georgia. So, I mean, we saw it. I realize we have really good wide receivers, but there were spots in the middle of the field that they would get lost in their man coverage and you could kind of exploit them. I mean, I think one of those four freshman scholarship receivers could have added a little something.
Yeah. And that's nothing against Xavier Johnson. You can still play
him. No, he had a hell of a game.
You can get guys in there, rotate them and stuff like that. It's just, you need to get some of these guys more experience through the year. I mean, after Pryor went down, it took them forever to really give Hayden the type of, they were forced to give Hayden the experience.
Right.
They both guys.
Cause everyone got hurt there,
you know, but then that kind of makes you wonder, like, you know, especially how good he looked against Michigan, you know, why wasn't Chip getting more running experience earlier in the season?
Well, they were trying to make him a linebacker.
I get it, but it's
at a point, there was no reps there, obviously.
Yeah, at a point, I think they could have probably moved him over a little sooner. All right, what's your second one?
Excuse me. I mean, this is honestly for the entire defense, but if I'm going to nitpick one group, vast improvement for the back end of the defense, just fundamentals altogether. I mean, we didn't have a single cornerback interception this year. I don't even know how that's possible, especially for a place like Ohio State. Cover 50-50 balls, tackling, pursuit angles, not falling when you're covering man coverage, being more aggressive in man coverage to buy some time for your defensive line to get there. I mean, there's just a lot of things that they need to fix for the secondary as a whole.
Yeah, you went a little bit more general than, I mean, I'm similar to you on this one. Obviously, all those things I agree with. And like, I came down to between tackling and pursuit angles, and I decided I'm going to pick one. They need, especially with the safeties, they need to work on angles. Like, I don't know what you need.
Been so bad since 2018. It's like once someone breaks the first line, it's like they're gone.
Yeah.
Because our safety is so far out of position.
Yeah. Like you have to understand you guys are the last line of defenses. And, you know, we did angle drills when I was in high school. Do they not do these anymore? Like,
I don't like there are sometimes I don't know what they practice in their defensive backfield. I mean, last line of defense, safety, you absolutely cannot bite on anything. You got to play smart.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that was the one the real one. Like, that's the first thing I'm going to start out. Everything else on you that you have on your list, I agree with all of that stuff. But, you know, there's just so many things, both from passing touchdowns to freaking running touchdowns, that, you know, if you just had somebody that was back there that knew how to run an angle to the sideline that the guys were trying to run up to try to cut them off, you'd be in so much better position than they are right now.
And I feel like, and this is where you and I have talked before about like strength and conditioning. I still think Mick does a great job, and I know you do. So, but there is something with like change of direction running that they need to work on explosiveness with that. I've never seen defensive backs look so slow. Like everyone else, their defensive back is the fastest guy in the field and they can run down anybody, you know, and our defensive backs lose. They lose yardage on people when they're chasing them down. Yeah. And I've never seen that so consistently on a team.
Yeah. So yeah, they definitely need to work on that, a lot of that stuff. Get your angle drills going.
I know.
All right, what's your third?
And I think you went something offensively with this one too. So I was going to say, and I was gonna say, you know, work on a power run scheme and get that going. But then I really thought to myself, like, the problem with Day is, and what has been, is he loses a sense, like the flow of calling an offensive, you know, football game. And I don't know all the different factors that play into that, but my thing is just do what works offensively. Like, this isn't Jim Tressel, man. Like, if running the ball ineffectively is going to mean you score 10 points, don't run the ball outside of, you know, it's a distraction every couple of plays, whatever. If throwing the ball is all, you know, if a team's going to let you do it, just do it. Like, and that's, I don't mean the whole Nike slogan there, but I mean, that's just my thing, is like, do what works offensively. It's easy to diagnose what teams are trying to stop. Don't run your head into a brick wall trying to be able to do everything or do what you set out for that week. You got enough offensive weapons everywhere that if they choose that they want to die by the passing game, you're probably one of the most talented passing games out there. Just pass all over.
I agree. My last one is it's on the running game, and you know, I agree with everything you said, and I think maybe they need to go to the thought process that, you know, the pass sets up the run. Like I said, in this game against Georgia, I felt like as the game went on, there were opportunities to run the ball, and they were running the ball fairly well as the game was going on against Georgia. Well, why were they doing that? Well, Georgia was playing the pass because they had to. They have to get more consistent with the running game. And I know a lot of that this year had to do with both the injuries to the two starters, but you know, Hayden showed that, you know, he was capable. Chip showed that he was capable, you know, when he got in there. So even Xavier, when he got in there, was showing that he was capable.
Yeah, I don't think Alford's a problem or anything like that.
I definitely think that they have to work on it. Like, you can't be Ohio State and not be able to run the ball. Like, you know, you need to be able to milk some clock in here at points. It is the Big Ten. You're going to get games like, you know, the Northwestern game. You know, what if that Northwestern game this year was Penn State? And, you know,
right, yeah.
You need to be able to run the ball because it could be a much tougher opponent. I mean, the weather that they had 2 years ago in Ann Arbor, that, you know, it comes up that, you know, you need to get a little bit more consistent. I agree with everything you say that, you know, if you can throw all over a team, then go throw all over a team, but then learn how to work the running into it. It shouldn't be as hard as it was this year.
It should never be so hard to gain 1 yard.
Like, and I get it that Stroud, you know, didn't like taking off. I mean, he proved us all wrong in the title game, but teams around the country can run a ball without a running quarterback. So you gotta be able to figure that in. And maybe you go to sometimes I think, you know, Day, he kind of bounces with his offenses. He likes to be a pro playing passing offense, but then he likes to do maybe some of the college stuff running the ball. And, you know, maybe go.
Yeah.
You know, if your quarterback is more of a, you know, he wants to sit back there and sling it, then there's plenty of examples in the NFL of running plays that you could go find, turn that into a match running plays with the way that your quarterback wants to play the game. So like, I don't think that's hard, and you got the running backs that you should be able to run the ball at will. And if they're going to give you the run because they're trying to take away passing, kill them with it then.
Well, and I mean, to go along with that, cause I don't disagree about running the ball. They need to figure out how to run the ball more efficiently. And I think, honestly, they just need to work on running the ball more at practice.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest issue. And that could be some of the issue where both the physical and mental toughness comes up. You know, are they throwing the ball too much in practice? And, you know, and these guys aren't smashing up against each other enough.
Because honestly, and I know, like, you look at, you lost by 1 point to Georgia and you don't want to think about it. Even that game we played against Georgia, we would have had a hell of a time beating Michigan in that game. Like, you got to know how to run the ball and how to stop the ball in the stop the run in the Big Ten. I mean, you got to. Like, TCU played a better run defense, kind of. And no, they didn't. But it was equal. They didn't let Donovan Edwards go off on them on the fourth quarter. But I mean, they played a really good run defense, and we did for the most part of that game. But you got to know just how to, you know, run on people, stop the run, because it's the Big Ten. That's what you guys do, unfortunately. Like, I know you're trying to build yourself to beat the SEC, to beat the Southern schools, you know, guys that can throw all over you or put up points. But you got to be able to stop the run, because Michigan's not going to be an easy out next year either.
No.
They're still going to know how to run on you. They're still going to have Donovan Edwards. I don't think Blake Corum is going to come back, but who knows? He might.
You got to, I mean, and I get it, it's a home, but, you know, Penn State's going to be a very tough team next year. Mm-hmm. You got to go to Madison next year, and you're going to play Luke. So, like,
you got to go out to Purdue. Now, I mean, they got a new coach, but that's
Notre Dame.
That's never been a good spot for us. Yeah.
Go to Indiana 3 times next year, because all 3 of those games are on the road.
I am happy that Notre Dame is what, like, week 4?
Yeah, it's at the end of September this year.
So, I mean, that's an acclimation period for both teams, that you're not just going and kind of like cold the first game of the year, you know. And I mean, Notre Dame got Sam Hartman as a transfer. Like, he's no slouch of a quarterback.
Yeah, and they played a lot better as the season went on. So Marcus definitely got his footing underneath him.
I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, I know a lot of these things have to I feel like have to just change. I mean, it's not, you're not rewriting everything, but you know, it doesn't hurt to address some of this stuff. You know, we'll talk about this more in the season, because we're not 100 or in the next couple of weeks, because we're not 100% sure. He just kind of mentioned it just the end of the show on just it seems like he's got an open mind about bringing in a play caller or giving
the
calling duties to someone already on the staff. We don't know yet. You know, both have kind of been calling for it going into this game, and then he ends up calling the game that he called.
He called a really good game. Yeah.
I think he still needs to do it.
Eventually. I mean, why not just rip the Band-Aid and do it now?
Yeah. Like, I think Jim Knowles can still be the head coach of the defense. I'm not saying that you need to be up Jim Knowles' ass and stuff like that, but he needs to be able to be more accountable to everybody on the team. And like I said, I think that was the kind of the biggest thing that bothered me in the Michigan game, was that, you know, he didn't go. He had to be so concerned about what was the next play call when you're first and 35, when as the head coach, he should have been ripping G Scott a new one right there on the sidelines, because, you know, we're first and 35 now because you just, you know, lost your head on this one.
Yeah.
And stuff. I mean, that's something that you see the great coaches. I mean, Nick Saban's of the world, the Urban Meyers of the world. I mean, they let their guy, it wasn't just that they ripped him out of the game. You know, they got their butts chewed out on the sidelines because of it. And, you know, because other people are doing stuff, you know, you're trusting your coaches with, you know, running the game. So I can go be the head coach. And, you know, so this guy knows what he did was wrong.
Ryan did coach with more emotion, I feel like, than he had previously.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he had gotten really excited in the Rose Bowl last year. I don't really remember too much like the 2020 Clemson game, how he was acting on the sideline, but he was really into this. And I think that's a big step. And so was Stroud. Like, and guys, just that's infectious, man. Like,
yeah,
people respond to that.
I mean, it was obvious that they definitely went into the playoff preparation that they had nothing to lose. And, you know, they were going to play loose, and, you know, it just, and I get it, the grind of a season, you're getting everybody's best shot in the world. I mean, that's for all these teams. I mean, look at me at close games, you know, even the Alabamas of the world have and stuff like that. I mean, Georgia had that Missouri game. Like, you expect to go in, you're going to beat them by, you know, 5 touchdowns, and then, you know, you end up, they almost ruin your season for you at the end of the day. And that, so yeah, you're getting everybody's best shot. I get that. You know, I just, you know, I would love to see if he could find a way that, you know, by giving up play calling duties, and let's, you know, go play loose then and let these guys throughout the season, because he is a really good offensive minded coach. And I think that him and a play caller, you know, he could set a play caller up to be very similar to him. Find a guy, whether it's on staff or finding a guy
that sounds like Corey Dennis. And I don't want that.
I prefer them to go find somebody. And I told you earlier, I would like them to kind of go find maybe, you know, maybe take the Michigan route where on these defensive guys that they're getting out of the NFL, maybe get an offensive guy out of the NFL that, you know, that might understand how to also kind of give them some pointers. Like, this is how we should run the ball. You know, if you're going to run more of a pro style offense, like even next year, if we have more of a running quarterback, you know, we can still figure out ways to run the ball and stuff like that, you know, and kind of worked the last couple seasons with Georgia. You know, Monken came from the NFL. He's done pretty well for them to get there. I mean, their offense a couple years ago, you know, before he went in there, I mean, they would not have scored 42 points. Like, you know,
no.
And, you know, and you can have good defense and a good offense, and, you know, they can score. And I just think that, you know, it would be a good decision for him to, you know, bring in somebody with a little bit more experience that might not be looking for a head coaching job right away, because maybe the guy has, you know, doesn't really care about coaching in college and would rather, as long as you have guys that can do the recruiting end of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just be the play caller and, you know, the next job that the guy really wants is to go back to the NFL, get an NFL head coaching job. And, you know, that's a guy you might be able to keep for a few seasons, because, you know, those guys don't always are not always on NFL radars and stuff like that. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody that kind of a good play caller that
and just has experience too
doing it, and you know, and hopefully it's somebody that meshes well with Ryan, because I love Ryan's playbook. It's just, you know, he needs to kind of be focused on all. It's just too much to be focused on to be the head coach and try to still run the offense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. There was something I wanted to say, but it is slipping my mind. Oh, gun to your head, Georgia or TCU?
I mean, I want TCU to win this game so bad. At this point, I would love to see it. You know, it would be really awesome for college football if TCU won the thing. I think Georgia's going to win.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's going to be a lot closer game than some people are even saying. Like, you know, TCU proved a lot to me in the Michigan game, and the different things I saw against Georgia's defense against Ohio State, you know, Stroud ran the ball fairly well, and you know, those receivers were open down the field. Well, TCU is a very good receiving core, and you know, some of those plays that Stroud got, you know, some good yards on, Duggan could take that to the house against, you know, yeah, Georgia. So some of that stuff's interesting. I think it's going to be a high scoring game, and I think it's going to be close, but I do think Georgia will end up winning it at the end of the day. And, you know, I'm not going to bet against them, but, you know, but that's how I think. I think it's going to be similar to the semifinals. It's going to be a very high scoring game, but, you know, Georgia will pull it out at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Man, that's just, and I know I'm not trying to sleep on TCU, but it just really felt like a game that Ohio State could be winning, you know, a national championship on Monday. That's why it hurt so much, you know, that you couldn't close it out. I mean, it was a great game. Someone has to lose. It was Ohio State, but you could be winning a national title on Monday. You're up 14 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. You definitely have the opportunity. I mean, you got the playmakers that easily could do it, but you know, next year
is what it is, man. Is what it is.
All right, let's close this one out.
All right, well, thank you everyone for stopping in tonight to the Buckeye Bar. I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
OH.
IO.